Barbara.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that's coming forth. We pray that you will bring this word that's coming forth from you today into our hearts, make it real in us. Let the word that comes forth today be living word, living, 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 alive, and that it come alive and burst alive in our spirits. Amen. Well, my message today was inspired by Mitch's message a few weeks ago on engaging. And a lot of this message has to do with engaging. But we are called to represent Christ in the earth. We're called to be his representatives. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. And all of the scriptures are going to be in New King James, Lucy, unless I tell you different. And I'm going to be quoting quite a few scriptures and then reading some of them. We'll read together. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, we are now in the kingdom of heaven, and in this earthly plane, we are Christ's ambassadors. He has sent us to represent him and the kingdom of God. Amen. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we see that we are God's representatives. Luke 11:2, Jesus said, when you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Where does God's will need to be done? On this earth. And we are here as his representatives, and that's to be our prayer, that God's will happen here. That it happened in our individual earth, in this earth, but in this earth, and in this church, in this town. We're to ask God's will be done. All believers are called to heal the sick. In the Great Commission, it says, these signs will follow those who believe. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. So that's for everyone that believes. Everyone that believes is called to pray for the sick and that they will be healed. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, it lists helping as one of the ministry gifts. And so every one of us are called to the ministry of helps. And even though Calvin and I are pastors here in Mexico, we are a minister of helps to the Mexican pastors down there. So we all are called to be helps and to help in the work of God. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Ephesians 4:11-13 right now. And this is talking about Jesus. And he, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so, I need some water. Peter's getting it. Hallelujah. So, we're all called to work in the harvest. We're all called to heal the sick. We're all called to help. But there are some particular anointings on the ministry gifts. We're going to look at the history of the word apostle. When Rome was conquering new cities, they sent in a fleet of ships that would bring improvements to that town. They would bring a whole fleet of ships and they would help better the lives of the people. And when the people's style of life was better, when their living conditions were better, then they would accept Rome, and they would join with Rome and accept it as their leader. The word apostolic came from a military term for a fleet of ships. And the head captain on the first boat was the apostle. But the apostolic ministry brought a better way of life. And apostolic ministries bring the best of heaven has to offer. Apostolic ministries bring salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, love, joy, peace. And when people experience a better life and the blessing of the Lord, then they're willing to leave the kingdom of darkness and be in the kingdom of light and come into the kingdom of God. Amen. The different functions of the church are like gears working together. And love is the oil that keeps them turning smoothly. Love isn't self-seeking. Love gives. A church is like a family, and every member should help with a church community. In a home, when you teach children to help in the home from the time they're little, they grow up to be healthier adults, and they don't move out on their own and don't know how to cook and don't know how to wash and don't know how to do anything. And so kids that are raised helping in the home are more stable adults when it's time for them to leave. And that's just the same way it is in the church. Everyone needs to be part help with us responsibilities. We're going to look at Ephesians 4:16. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It says what every joint supplies. So every person in the church is to have a function in the church and help and supply and encourage and bless one another. Ephesians 5:2 tells us to walk in love. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says that love edifies. Love always builds up. There's an old saying that says, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. Hallelujah. Love builds up. It cares about people. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all you do be done with love. Hebrews 3:13 says, exhort one another daily. You know, we're to daily encourage one another and bless one another. We're going to Hebrews 10:25-26. Hallelujah. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Every believer needs to be a functioning part of a church community. And then going back to the Great Commission, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. Does it say go into all the world and bring them into the church so that they can find Jesus there? No, it says go preach the gospel out where the people are, out in the world. Hallelujah. We're going to look, you got one that says seven mountains of culture. These are different areas where that have their own structure, and these are who we are supposed to be influencing. Hallelujah. The seven mountains of culture are the church, family, education, government, business, media, and arts and entertainment. And the Lord has had us praying for many of these mountains here in Douglas. In the last 2 years, we have spent 21 days going to every school and praying around every school. Some of them we went in and prayed, but we have prayed for the school, and we have seen things happen. I believe our prayer this year birthed the Bible Club. You know, and so now the gospel's going on in the high school every week. And so it's like from the prayer has come the Lord actually present in the high school. We've systematically prayed for all of the churches in Douglas. You know, we just pray that every church will have a move of the God Spirit, that every church will have souls saved, that every church will do what they are called to do, and that they will be blessed. And so we're not in competition. We're here to edify and build up. We have an attitude toward the other churches. What can I do to serve you? How can I pray for you? How can I help you and build you up? So we're not in competition with the other churches. We are here to love and serve one another and pray. We pray for the churches. We've prayed at businesses around town. We've prayed at the city hall, the police department, the welcome center. We've prayed at the border and at parks around town. When you pray on location, the atmosphere begins to change. Demons will flee, and as we speak, decree God's word over businesses, over places, over schools, when we decree God's word, it looses the angels to go to work in that place as the devils run off and the angelic presence comes in. It helps change the atmosphere. In most of the mountains, 3% of at the top control what happened within that mountain of influence. God wants you to use you in the mountain of society where you are. He wants you to use you in your home, at work. We're going to look at some Bible examples about how God used his people and he set them up to rise to places of leadership where they had a godly influence on their town. Remember, Joseph was sold into slavery. And after he was in Egypt, he was worked as a servant, and then he was falsely accused, and he was thrown into prison. But when he was in prison, the Lord gave the heathen king a dream that nobody could interpret but Joseph, because Joseph listened to God. Through all Joseph's troubles, he listened to God and he talked to God. He communicated with God. What if Joseph would have gotten bitter and mad and angry at God over all the bad things that had happened to him? He wouldn't have had his heart ready to take the place of leadership. He rose to be the second highest in control in that nation, and he saved the nation, and many of the nations and people around them that would have starved to death were able to come to Egypt and get food. And he wasn't raised to be a king, but God, he had the word of God. He knew how to listen to the voice of God and hear the Lord. And God raised him up to a place where he had the answer for the problems that faced that society. Does our society have problems today? Is God still able to give heathen kings dreams that only the Josephs of today can interpret and know what to do with them? Is God able to give us the answers for the society we live in? Amen. Hallelujah. Similar thing happened to Daniel. Daniel faithfully prayed. He heard the word of God. He had a voice, ear to hear what God was saying, and he communicated with God. And God used that to raise him to a place of great influence in the kingdom of Babylon. We're going to read Daniel 2, verses 20 through 23. After God had told Daniel the king's dream and the interpretation, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." Verse 22, He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. We are God's people, and God still is revealing secret things to his people that are turning their ear to him. Hallelujah. Guess that's who he is. He reveals deep and secret things. And going down to Daniel 2, verse 48 and 49. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Gates were places of influence. It's where the leaders of the city sat in the gates. Hallelujah. And he sat as the leader. And it's only a small amount that are in that place of influence. But God wants to raise his people up to be in those places of influence. We're going to read Proverbs 29:2. And it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Isn't that the truth? Do we need righteous people to rise up in our government, in our towns, in this town, in our nation? We need the righteous to be in authority. We're going to 1 Timothy 2:2. And it says, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live a peaceful and quiet life marked by godliness and dignity. So we need to pray for our leaders. Hallelujah. Even the heathen leaders, we need to pray that God will give them a dream that only the righteous can have the answer to it. The righteous can have the answers to the problems that this world faces. Amen. Go to Amos chapter 5, verse 15. And it says, hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gate. In the place of leadership, justice needs to be established. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. If we will establish justice in the gates of Douglas, it may be that God will have mercy on Douglas. Hallelujah. And we find grace in his sight. Prophetic insights change strategies at the gate. Prayer plus seeing in the spirit produces a shift in the atmosphere. Proximity is power. Hallelujah. It's a key of authority. Being in the right place at the right time puts God's authority in a situation. Having prophetic insight. Prophetic insight is just, wow, what does God think about this? What's God's plan in this? And being able to bring it to the people that to influence our society. God wants to share secrets with his people for solving problems in every sphere of influence. When you share the key to fixing a problem, then you bring godly influence into the situation. Bridge builders, we've been doing the school prayer through Bridge Builders the last few years, and they have been doing school prayers for a number of years, and they have just had amazing, amazing turnaround results. But they have had more influence when they prayed on the school property, and they even had more influence when they would sit down with the principal of a school and says, what are the needs of the school? What can we pray for? And they had greater influence. That's proximity, not only on site, but with the authority in the school. So we need proximity to those in authority. You need to surround and fill the place you work with prayer. You know, wherever you work, you need to walk around and pray in the spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Many times, evil spirits are in places of, are in buildings, in places of business, in schools, wherever. Many times, evil spirits are there because people that work there have the spirits and bring them in with them, or some buildings have had evil spirits that's been there for a long, long time. And when we pray in the Spirit, we begin to bind those evil presence. We can cast out those demonic spirits when we're there praying in the Spirit, that demons flee. And it also then sets the angels free to go and work in that place. Hallelujah. Wherever you work, pray. Pray in the Spirit. If you can find a friend to play with you, that's even better. Hallelujah. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if we resist the devil in our places where we shop or work or are, hallelujah, he has to flee. Hebrews 1:14 says, in the New Living Translation says, therefore angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Well, have we inherited salvation? Yes. So the angels are there to work for us in our behalf. We're going to look at Psalms 103, verse 20 and 21. In the New Living Translation on this one, it says, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans. So the angels carry out God's plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. And that's why it's important to pray in the Spirit when we pray, because when we begin to pray in the Spirit and hook up with the Holy Ghost, God's words flow through us. And the angels are listening to God's commands. And when we decree and declare God's word in a situation, the angels are there to take it and go to work. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When the atmospheres begin to change in the place where you work, the resistance is broken and people can get saved easier. You know, it's like what has held people back is gone, and people are open then to hear and receive the Lord. Hallelujah. When two or more people in your home or place of work join together in one accord, praying the same thing, the power multiplies. The new big in the church world is going to be the micro church on location, where people are. Hallelujah. Because God wants to use you out there in the world where you are. Amen. We're going to read Matthew 18 through 20. It says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The word agree there is symphoneo, which is symphony. When we pray in harmony together, things happen. What we pray for will come to pass. Hallelujah. When two or three are in a love relationship with one another and are in agreement with one another, it sets up an atmosphere for a habitation instead of a visitation from God. I mean, it's nice to have a visitation from God, but it's even better to have a habitation of the Lord. And when we are in a love relationship with each other, hallelujah, it sets up, and in agreement, it sets up for habitation. Who's in our love community in one mind and one accord? With a relationship based on love that overshadows any faults that we have. You know, we're all human. None of us are perfect. Not any of us are perfect. We're all human. We all have warts. We all have things that, you know, are bad. But when we are in a love relationship with each other, we love each other in spite of their faults. And when we have that kind of love relationship, that's the love is greater than whatever difference of opinion that we have, it sets a stage for us to work together in power, because we come into agreement in the Spirit and power is released. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. In the late 1700s and early 1800s, there was a politician in England named William Wilberforce. He was a Christian and a Parliament member. When he went into office in England, England was a wicked nation. There was slavery, child labor, severe poverty, and every form of wickedness. And I've read some books about that period, and it was a very evil, wicked place in England. During Wilberforce's political career, he was successful in having 179 laws changed in England to create an atmosphere for morality and a higher quality of life. At the same time as this was going on, there were two major revivals taking place with John and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield. The result of the Reformation and the revival was a Victorian England. There was a total change of culture in England. It can happen. Amen. During this period of time, Wilberforce and Whitefield and the Wesley brothers and other people met together to pray every week. Just think of it. The politicians and the evangelists and other people met together every week to pray. Hallelujah. There was a love relationship there, a unity there. Reformation comes from the top down. It's important for God's people to rise to the top where they have influence to change laws and mindsets. Revival starts from the bottom up. Fire rises. And revival works on the consciousness of people. It changes hearts. When you change legislation without changing hearts, you get a backlash. Remember in the Prohibition, the government made it illegal to drink. And so the bootleggers just rose up big, and it got worse. Drinking and carousing and trouble got worse because the law was there, but people's hearts hadn't changed. And think of our drug culture now in the United States. Drugs are against the law. But 8% of Americans today use illegal drugs. And it causes, look at all of the drug wars that's happened. Since 2007, there's been about 70,000 people die in the drug wars. Because we have gotten an appetite for drugs. And the only legislation won't stop that. It needs a revival to change the hearts of men and women. Amen. When you win people's hearts without changing the law, you don't have the nation. And God also wants to give us nations. We're going to go to Psalms 2:8. And the Lord said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possessions. So we are to ask the Lord, and he said he would give us nations. Let's go to Matthew 28:19. And it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Does it say go and make disciples of all people? What does it say? It says, go make disciples of nations. God wants to give us nations. He wants to give us our nation that is really in a backslidden state. But we believe that it was God's, this nation was God's idea in the first place, and that it's going to be restored and made whole. When you come into a sphere of influence with God's presence and prophetic insight, you have authority. It's important for us to care deeply. Father, what do you feel? What's your desire? How do you feel? And we need to have a heart full of God's compassion, and we need to feel what God feels. Join God in what he's doing. Care about what he cares about. What's God's passion? Let what's passionate with God be what's passionate to us. Let's catch God's passion. And God's passion is for souls of men. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish. Let's go let me skip that for a time. But the cries of our heart need to echo the cries of God's heart. What we care about needs to be what he cares about. Hallelujah. And God loves us, and he wants to show us things before they happen. Out of a love relationship with our Father will flow revelation. We will have ears to hear and eyes to see, and we will learn to hear from our heart or our spirit instead of our head. Our head goes crazy with what's going on, and we look at problems, and it's like it's bigger than we are, and we can't solve the problems in our head. So we need to hear and listen and see from our heart, from our spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. Why is prophecy so important? It's because when we prophesy, we speak God's word. We speak his will. We speak what he wants. Hallelujah. It's not praying from our own desires or understanding, but prophecy speaks the word of the Lord. And when the word of the Lord is out there, things begin to change and happen. Hallelujah. We're going to read Acts 2:17 through 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my men, men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So every one of God's people are called to prophesy. They're called to hear the voice of the Lord and speak it out. Hallelujah. Speak out God's will. Hallelujah. When Joshua, I was just reading a couple of days ago, when Joshua was in the battle, he spoke to the sun and said, stay still, son. And he spoke to the moon and said, stay still. Those were prophetic words of the Lord, and they obeyed him. Hallelujah. In the beginning, God spoke and things happened. God spoke and things happened. And when we speak forth God's word, things happen because the creative life and force of God are in our words when we speak God's words. Hallelujah. God's word is spirit and life. It's powerful. It's creative. It changes. It makes things happen. That's why it's important. A lot of times I take my Bible and I read it like it's to me personally. I put it personal, but I begin to decree God's will in my life. And God's will in this church, God's will in this town. Speak the word, decree his word, because there's power in it. Hallelujah. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. That's interesting wording. I will watch to see what he will say to me. And it just means I will pay attention to the Lord. I will make it a point to zero in on him and what he's saying. Hallelujah. And what I will answer when I'm corrected. You know, we're all still in process, and how are we going to answer God when he corrects us? Okay, verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets that he may run who reads it. It's important that we hear the Lord, purposely hear what the Lord is saying, and write it down. Write it down, because there's power in the written word. It is written. It says right here what God wants. Write down what the Lord speaks to you. Clarity is power. Revelation comes from God, while the number one tool of the enemy is deception and confusion. God gives revelation and clarity, and the enemy brings in confusion and deception. Now I want you to take the next paper that we handed out that says Faith Ministries Church, Purpose and Vision. And we're going to go through these. What has God said for us, and what's important to us as a church? The first one on there is to prepare an atmosphere for the presence of the Lord so that the gifts of the Spirit and miracles will be in continual operation. I think that's, to my heart, that's the most important thing. If God's here, we're good. We want his presence. You know, it's a terrible thing to go to church when the presence of the Lord isn't here. It's just like boring. You know, we want God's presence in our midst. Hallelujah. The next one is one of the engaged ones. Take it to the streets. Take the presence of God outside the walls, ministering to people where they are, reconciling men to God. We need to take the word of God, the presence of God, out there where the people are. Hallelujah. Next one is to be a house of prayer. We need to stand in the gap until our community has an Acts chapter 2 class revival where multitudes are saved. That's a calling. That's a calling that we have as a church, to pray until we see the revival that we have seen in our spirits break out and multitudes come to Christ and turn to the Lord. That's our calling. We need to keep our focus on loving God and loving people, being quick to forgive and let go. Hallelujah. The thing is love. We want to have a loving family atmosphere where people feel like they come home when they come to FMC. Love people where they are while the word of God and his presence transforms them. Hallelujah. When people are sick physically, they need to go to the doctor. They need to go to the hospital where they can get well. When people are sick spiritually, they need to come to church where they can hear God's word, be in his presence, and that begins to transform them and change them. So, you know, we don't have a sign at the door saying, you know, only perfect people can come in here. You know, the churches are the hospital for people to come and get the word, get transformed, become well again. Hallelujah. And we welcome everyone that's hungry for God to come. But the shepherd's job is to protect the sheep from wolves and from the goats, the wolves and the goats. Wolves are people under demonic influence that come to prey on the sheep. You know, and every once in a while through the years, we've had a wolf come in, and we just know it like that. They are a wolf. The devil sent them to hurt the sheep, and we just pray them right back out the door. Hallelujah. You know, it's like, and then goats are people that's not surrendered to God. They're controlled by their own ego. They're influenced by evil spirits, and all the goats want to do is butt people around. I mean, isn't that what goats do? They just bully. You know, they're bullies and they want to butt people around. Well, the shepherd's job is to protect people from that are goats. But, you know, ultimately, even God loves those people that's operating in those places, and his desire is to see them set free from those things. Hallelujah. Okay, going on. To receive from a plural ministry where the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor and teacher corporately guide the body so that all members are involved as helps ministries and soul winners. Hallelujah. We do not believe in a one-person show. We just don't. We believe in ministry gifts flowing through the body because we need what every ministry gift has to give. Hallelujah. We need all of it. Every ministry gift has different anointings, different specialties, and we need those gifts in our body. Hallelujah. So we believe in plural ministry. Next one, to train believers to do the work of the ministry and send them out into the harvest field. That's our job, to train them up so that they can become harvesters as well. To be an agent of the Great Commission, sending missionaries into all the world. Well, Faith Ministries gives about 50% of the money that comes into it to other places. We support a lot of ministries and missionaries in Mexico. We support ministries in Iran and India, Africa, Native Americans, and now the university. We have a missionary right here to the universities that we support as a church. Hallelujah. We believe in getting the gospel out to other people. This is kind of a strong point for me, but you know, I just don't think it's fair for us to hear the good news over and over and over and over and over again when there's so many out there that haven't heard once. It's not fair. And I have a heart for the unreached. You know, we have went into places where they have never even heard the name of Jesus. We've asked them, do you know Jesus? And they says, no, he's never been through here. Oh no, we're talking about God's son, Jesus. And they says, we never heard of a God with a son named Jesus. And you know, that's awesome. But it's like there's people that haven't even been touched with religion other than, you know, these people had, they worshiped the sun god and the moon god and the corn god. Hallelujah. And we were able to tell them about Jesus, God's son. Hallelujah. And so that's awesome. We call to be a blessing to our community by prayer, Christian example, and community service. And we're called to love and care for the earth that God gave us. The first commandment that God gave man was to tend the garden, keep it. And God's never changed that. We're still to tend his garden and keep it. Amen. To love the earth where he's put us on. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that your word goes into our heart, that it bears fruit. Father, we just thank you for the awesome people that you have put in this place. We thank you, Lord, for Ola Bashenko Male Te Moaya Te Lebaharumo Shiliniai Elamokandia She. Every person here has a call, has a ministry, has a purpose that God has designed him for. And Lord, I pray for these people here today that your call, your plan, and your purpose will be fulfilled in everyone's life. Oh, Kalamashe, just like Joseph, you may feel, I've went through all these things, and everything seemed to have gone wrong. Well, God's just put you in a position where he can raise you up to shine for him where he's called you to be. He still has a plan and a purpose for each person here, no matter what you've been going through. Oh, la kaya she, rebi onda la tayo bo maya she, nididia she. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand up together and look to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have the question today and the prayer in your heart, God, I want your purpose and your plan to be accomplished in my life. I want to hear your voice and know the call and the purpose that you have on me. If you feel a tugging in your spirit and want prayer, we'd love to pray with you today, for God's not through with you yet, and he wants to reveal his purpose and his plan. He wants to use you for his glory and for the kingdom of light. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lahaya Shilimohande. Holy, 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 holy. I let ain't no rabboniti, naravadayo shola rabbanaya liliaya noho. Tony De La Torre, I just feel led to pray for you this morning, and I'd like your kids to come up with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You just stand up here. Thank you, Lord. Tony, the Lord showed me that he is going to begin to use you more in your business and the people. And words of wisdom and words of knowledge are going to come up in your heart as they're sitting there in your chair. Just words from the Lord. Just a word of the Lord is going to come up out of you, and you begin to bless people in your work there. Father, I thank you for your anointing on Tony. I thank you, Lord. Oh, la te of Okoshi, we release in the name of Jesus that anointing for the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge to flow through him, that he can minister to people right where he is, minister life, and minister your peace and your salvation to them. Lord, thank you for the anointing on his life. Thank you that he has a tender and a caring heart. Oh, thank you, Father, for using him for your glory right where he's at. Oh, Lashe, Father, your purpose and your will and your plan. Oh, Lashe, Mokai, Linde, Dio, Bariti, Komananate, Lashe. And in my heart, the Lord wants to use your hands for healing to flow through. Wants to use your hands for healing. Lord, I thank you that your healing gifts will flow through these hands, touching and making people whole. Oh, Lakai, thank you for your anointing. Your anointing, your anointing upon his hands to heal the sick. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Raya Shay, Tame Omane, Atelo, Menea, Eleni Boshe, Indola Rabate, Kohalade, Shay, Lara, Neanda, Lanana, and any bonnet, Edi, O. Father, I thank you for this tender heart. I thank you for a heart of compassion, a heart of compassion to flow, God's compassion to flow through her, and flow through her heart, through her hands, through her voice. Oh, Lord, I ask you, Father, use her to bless people. Use her to bring relief and answers into people's lives. Use her, Father, for your glory. Alakayariashe, we bind every distraction of the enemy in her life, and we just release and let the Spirit of the Lord flow through her right now. Ask for God's Spirit to flow through her right now. Thank you, Jesus. I am a Teashi, the call of God, the call of God, the call of God, the call of God. Father, I thank you for giving him visions in the night. Oh, Father, I thank you. Oh, for divine encounters of the Lord, divine encounters with the Lord. Father, at the most unexpected times, let him come face to face with the power and the presence of God. Oh, Father, just fill him with your presence, your glory. We bind all confusion and we release the revelation of God for God's will to be done in his life. Oh, Teashi, Father, that his life will be used for your glory. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah. Tiana, can I pray for you? Hallelujah. Holy, 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 baraya dain, didi, ora baraya, holy, haraya shi. If you feel a tugging on your heart, just come. Hola kaya shi, lidi boande, liayo to, la rabadi, bahai. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just bless these people with your love. Bless them, Lord. Bless us all with a hungry heart, a hunger for you. We just praise you, Father, and thank you for your great love to us all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just keep your mind quiet before the Lord. And I just feel that God's ministering to hearts right where you are, right in your place. God's ministering to you. His love is flowing. Father, I ask that you open everyone's ears to hear your voice this day. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, Holy One. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. La 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 la. Oh, la raya le aya le ni aya. Oh, remote aya la riaya. Remote di. Indo na na na. Some of you are facing really big challenges, and things have been going difficult. Just had a lot of attacks against you and your family. And the Lord says, put your eyes on me because I am bigger than all your problems. I am bigger than all your problems. The mountains that to you are so big, to me are just molehills, and there's no problem. I have no problem taking care of your every need. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, go out and have a wonderful day. If you can come back tonight for hallelujah. God's going to be here tonight. There's going to be some real special things happen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.